Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my fifth week of teaching on the believer's authority, and this is also going to be the end of my teaching on believer's authority. I have a series that I've been teaching on this, and we have a CD set that has six teachings in it. Today will be my last day to offer the fifth teaching in the set, and then tomorrow we will start on the sixth teaching. We will end this teaching this week. And I tell you, I've covered a lot of material. We've talked about things that are not very well known. As a matter of fact, I've got this brand new book out on the believer's authority, and the title, the subtitle is What You Didn't Learn in Church. There is a lot of stuff in here that people have never heard before. I've mentioned this, but I've never heard some of these things taught. Not saying that I'm the only one that has seen this, but it's not being taught very much. I've never heard it. And then there's a lot of things that I'm teaching, especially this week, that is just going to go totally against much of the things that you've heard about spiritual warfare and how to use your authority in prayer and do things like that. And so, anyway, it's been a great series. We have this brand new book. I have a brand new study guide. I have DVDs that were taken directly from television. I also have a DVD that was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar where I taught on the believer's authority. And then we have CDs on this. So we have a lot of different ways to make this available. I have not got time to go back and summarize everything that we've said, but I tell you, it's all been really, really important. The point that I've been making at the very end of my teaching last week was that you get authority from the laws that God has placed down. In other words, you can't just take this teaching that I've been giving about the believer's authority and go out there and say, well, man, I've got authority from the Lord. And so you go out and just start enforcing your own will and doing your own thing. See, it would be very similar to a police officer, that a police officer is bound by the laws. All he does is enforce law. And he can't go out and do his own thing. He can't go in because he doesn't like this person, go and arrest them and put them into jail. You know, I guess some of those things might happen sometimes, but if they do, they're certainly outside of the law. And if they're found out about it, they're prosecuted for it. If they're operating according to the way it should be, a police officer can only enforce laws that are already on the book. He can't use his power and his position in a selfish way to do whatever he wants to do. And I think most of us understand that. Well, in a similar way, a believer, you can't take this teaching about the authority of the believer and just go out and do whatever you want to and say, well, man, I believe that I'm going to be able to get this woman over here. I'm going to divorce one I've got and I choose this one. Or I believe I'm going to win the lottery and I'm going to use my authority as a believer to pray and have God fix the lottery and give me the numbers, the winning numbers. See, those kind of things aren't provided for you in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why you can't go out and just do things on your own. So this makes you absolutely dependent on knowing what has been provided for you in Christ Jesus. Let me just take some verses out of Ephesians chapter 1 on this. And this is making a point that I think most Christians have missed. And it's really powerful. He's praying a prayer, and in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, before I get into the rest of this prayer, let me just point out something here, that if I was to ask you to pray a prayer, to write down a prayer that would be read 2,000 years in the future. If the Lord was to tarry, believers would be reading this as Scripture, and you were going to write down a prayer, what would you pray? You know, it would vary from person to person, but here's what in my experience dealing with people, the vast majority of people would pray something along the lines of, oh God, pour out your Spirit. We're asking you to do a new thing. We're asking you to touch these people. And it would all be petitioning God to give them something new, to do something new, to move in their life, to do something like that. Look at the way that Paul prayed. He didn't pray, oh God, give them something new. Rather, he was praying, oh God, open up their eyes to what they already have. Now, that's a major difference. And I hear so many people that are talking about that God is the great I'm going to be, but not the great I am. It's always, there's coming a move of God. God is going to move. You need to believe that God is going to touch your life, that God is going to prosper you, that you will be well, that things are going to improve. And it's all off in the future. I really believe that you need to move into a realm to where instead of looking at what God could do, you need to look at what God has done. And to do this, you have to get into the spiritual realm because much, I'd say the vast majority of what God has done for us is not visible. It's not discernible. Most people aren't walking in the victory that God has provided for them. So you have to have the eyes of your heart opened so that you can see and understand. But once you know that on the inside of you, not out there somewhere, is the power of God, and you've got to pray and get it past all of the demonic opposition and all of these kind of things, the way so many people teach. But instead, if you can understand that the power of God resides on the inside of you, it's already there. You don't need God to touch you. You don't need God to move in your life. Now, let me put a little P.S. here. This is talking to believers, people who have already been born again and have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The power of God isn't out there somewhere that you've got to go and get it. It's on the inside of you. And see, once you understand this and get a revelation of what you have and what God has done, that He's given you the same power that He gave Jesus, and He told you to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, that you have the same ability as the Lord Jesus. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse 12. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." See, once you understand some of these truths and you understand that this isn't something that's available if you pray enough and if you do everything just right, but you got it through the faith of the Lord Jesus when you got born again and you have this power on the inside of you, then exercising your authority is nothing but finding out what is already yours, finding out what God's will is, whether He wants you to be poor or blessed, whether He wants you to be sick or well, whether He wants you to prosper in your life, in your relationships and stuff. And you can go and find all of these things out through Scripture. And once you understand what has been given you, then the rest of the authority is just exerting, demanding what is rightfully yours. You know, here's another comparison that may help you to get the point I'm trying to make. Whatever country you live in, of course, this program's being heard all around the world. There's a potential of 2.2 billion people under the signal of this television program. And you know what? There are people in all of these different countries. But in whatever country you live in, you have certain rights as a citizen. But if you don't know what those rights are, then you know what? You won't be able to receive the benefits of that. For instance, let's say that you live in a country like the United States and you've got certain rights that people can't just tread on you and do things and take away this. But if a person, say for instance, came from a different culture where they didn't have any of these rights, and if they didn't know that now, as a United States citizen, that what their rights are, and they just thought that it was going to be the way that it was in the country they came from. Let's say, for instance, it is one of these women that's coming from one of the Islamic nations where they have no rights, they don't get educated, they are oppressed, all of these things happen. If you took a woman from like that and put her over here in the United States, she would have a right to education, she would have a right to vote, she would have a right to express her opinion, she would have a right to protect herself. She is not just the property of somebody else, and on you could go with this. But if a person didn't know what those rights were, well, then they would never petition the government. They would never make a demand. They would never draw on what was rightfully theirs, and they could be oppressed. They could still live under oppression. Right here in this nation, back in the 1860s, when President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and when that was done, did you know that there are historical accounts of slaves in the United States that back then, of course, they didn't have the communication skills that we have today. And because of this, they lived in a lot of isolation. And some of the plantation owners kept the news about the Emancipation Proclamation away from their slaves. And there are actually documented cases of slaves that lived for a long period of time, I think up to a year or more, in slavery after they had been freed. And yet they didn't know that they had been freed. They didn't know what their rights were. And so they just continue to operate and let this oppression take place in their life. Well, in a very similar way, the body of Christ has been liberated from the oppression of the devil. You do not have to be sick. You do not have to be poor. You don't have to be depressed, discouraged, fearful. You can operate in joy and peace. Jesus has set us free from everything that Satan wanted to do in our life, but the vast majority of Christians don't know what has been done. Or they look at it this way, that this is what is the potential, but they don't realize it's already an accomplished fact, that they have the power on the inside of them. And so like when it comes to healing, instead of taking the power that God has given them and taking their authority and releasing it and speaking directly to the problem, they are praying and petitioning God and saying, "Oh God, I know that you provided healing. Would you please now give it to me?" And as I've already talked about this, you know, how does God do something that he's already done? If he's already done it, if he's put that power on the inside of you, now the responsibility is upon you to use that power. And so, see, we have not known what is rightfully ours. So this is Paul's prayer here isn't saying, "Oh, God, move and touch them and do something new and give them this power and pour out your spirit and move." He's not petitioning God for all of this. Rather, he's praying that their eyes would be opened up to what they already have. So in verse 18, this is Ephesians 1:18, it says, "The eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling." You know, these are verses that I've spent hundreds or thousands of hours studying and meditating on, and I could go into a lot more detail, but these are powerful statements here. We have the hope of his calling. We are joint heirs with him. This is not that just, you know, now that we're Christians, we are substandard and we only have a little bit of power and a little bit of victory over here. No, we have everything that belonged to Jesus. We are joint heirs with him. And we need to get our eyes open to what it means to be a joint heir with him, the hope of his calling. How do you think Jesus would handle the situation you're in? Do you think Jesus would approach God and say, "Oh God, we're powerless. There's nothing that we could do. Oh God, please move in my life"? Do you think that that's the approach that Jesus would have? Well, probably most of you would say absolutely not. Well, therefore, if you are approaching God that way, then you know what? You haven't understood that you have his calling, his power, his ability, that you are joint heirs with him. And this prayer is praying, Paul is praying that your eyes would be open to understand what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, again, so often the church is always singing about when we all get to heaven, what a day that is going to be. And we talk about heaven, and heaven is going to be a blast. I'm not minimizing heaven. In heaven, we are going to know everything exactly the way that we are known. But did you know that when you get to heaven, all that's going to happen is that in your soulish realm, you get a revelation of what you already had. Right now, in your spirit is as perfect and complete at this exact moment as it will be a million years from now in heaven. Your spirit's not going to change. You already have all of the power and all of the authority that you will have throughout all eternity. The only difference is we have a body that is corruptible and we have a mind that has not been renewed. But to the degree that we can renew our mind and begin to act in agreement with what is already taking place in our spirit, we have this inheritance in the saints right now. Over in, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that we have been called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not something that is out there in the future. In your spirit, you already have the same glory, the power, and the authority. And so we just don't know it. We don't know what's been given to us. Most of us have been raised outside of Christianity. Even if you were raised in religion, Christianity religion, very few religious Christians have been taught these kind of things, that we are seated in heavenly places, that the same works that Jesus did, we can do also. And so the point I'm making is we've been taught that we are nothing, that we can do nothing, that I'm only human. You know, there's that Christian, quote unquote, Christian song that says, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. It's not true. I'm not only human. One third of me is wall to wall Holy Ghost. Therefore, I have different power and authority, and I should be able to expect different results. I shouldn't sorrow the way that the world sorrows. I shouldn't have the same sickness and the same disease and the same depression and the same poverty that the world has because I've been delivered from that world system. Amen. I know some of the things I'm saying are just shocking people, but it's all true. And see, this is what Paul is praying. Oh, God, open up their eyes. Show them that they have the same calling that Jesus has. Show them that your inheritance is already in the saints. It's not waiting in heaven. It's inside of them right now. And then look at this in verse 19. And he's still praying that their eyes would be open to what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Boy, there is a mouthful there. There is so much we could spend days, weeks talking about that. But I want to point out that he says, Lord, help them to see the exceeding greatness of your power that is towards them, the same power that you used when you raised Jesus from the dead. Now, see, most Christians would accept that when you get born again, that you get power and authority to use that. But very few Christians would liken the power and the authority that has been given unto them to the same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. Now, in theory, you might sit there and say, oh, no, I believe that. But I've had so many people come to me and they tell me what their problem is. And they present it in a way as, I don't know if God is able to do this. That this might just overwhelm God. I remember a man coming one time and he told me that he had a pain in the neck. And he started from his neck. And then he just talked about how that this pain was in his back and he had compressed disc and he had pains in his hips and he had neuropathy. And he went from his head to his toe and listed all of these things. And I just listened to him. And then after he got through, he says, but, you know, the real problem is the neck. And I, you know, if I could just get God to heal the neck, I could live with the rest of the problems. And so I looked at this guy and I said, well, I understand what you're saying. I mean, that's a lot for God to handle all of these things that you mentioned. I mean, if we were to pray for every one of these things, the lights in heaven might dim. This might put such a drain on God's power that I'm not sure heaven could still operate. And I started talking to this guy that way. And he just looked at me and he says, boy, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? And I said, it was real stupid. I said, it's not like God is maxed out with your problem. But see, this is the way that so many people approach God. Oh, God, I know I need $1,000, but I could get by with $100. If you could just help me today, like, I'm not sure that God could pull this one off. See, you don't understand that the power that has been given unto you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, if somehow or another you could put the power of God on like one of these VU meters that has a little needle, and if you could test the different demonstrations of God's power, I personally believe that the creation of the universe, the creation of all of mankind, all of the things involved in creation wouldn't be anything compared to raising Jesus from the dead. See, at the creation, there wasn't a demonic power that was withstanding God and trying to stop this. There was zero opposition. But at the resurrection of Jesus, I guarantee you, every demonic force in the universe was standing right there at that tomb trying to stop Jesus from being raised from the dead, because that's where the victory took place. The crucifixion made a price was paid, but it wasn't enforced. The victory wasn't won until Jesus rose from the dead. And that's what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Everything hangs on the resurrection of Jesus. And so I believe that Satan massed all of his forces, and yet all of the demons of hell could not stop Jesus being raised from the dead. So that's the greatest demonstration of God's power, even greater than creation, greater than splitting the Red Sea, greater than seeing other things happen that have happened. This is the greatest demonstration of God's power, and it says that the power that has been given unto us is the same power that He used when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If you were to think about this and get a revelation of it, I guarantee you that would be enough to heal your hangnail, to get you over your cold, over your headache, to deal with these problems that some of us have magnified and made these problems into these huge things where we just aren't even sure that God could pull this off. I'm telling you, God is well able. And the power that has been placed on the inside of you is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We just don't know what we have. And again, I go back to these examples that I've used. If a police officer didn't know what the laws were and what he really had authority to do, well, then he wouldn't be enforcing it. If a person who is a member of a citizen of a country doesn't know what his rights are, then he'll let people abuse him because he doesn't know what his rights are, and he lets people take advantage of him. Same thing happened with the slaves. The same thing is happening with the body of Christ. We are ignorant of what God has given us. And so as I've taught on authority, one of the main points I'm trying to get across is that authority is just the enforcement of the laws, of the blessings, the promises, the provisions that have been made available to us through Jesus. So, if you want to start exercising your authority, it is incumbent upon you that you've got to go to the Word of God and find out what is rightfully yours. Religion today has dumbed down Christianity to where basically all that you have that's different than anybody else is that your sins were forgiven, and when you die, you're going to go to heaven, whereas other people go to hell. And that's the number one difference that most people see. But in reality, it is so much more than that. For instance, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says that He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Not just the one to come, but this present evil world. Yes, I believe in heaven. Yes, I believe in hell. Yes, I believe that there is a reward for a believer in eternity. But right now in this life, you should be above only and not beneath. You should be the head and not the tail. And yet I have people all of the time, I ask them how they're doing. Well, not too bad under the circumstances. What are you doing under there? You're supposed to be above only and not beneath. Crawl out from under it. Find out what you have, what has been given unto you. Find out your rights as a Christian. And then just go enforce those things. As you resist the devil, James 4, 7, a scripture that I have used for 5 weeks at nearly every single program as I've been teaching on the believer's authority, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Find out what your rights are, start standing for them, resist, and Satan will flee. We're out of time today, but remember today is my last day to offer you this fifth teaching in our six-part series. Listen as our announcer gives you that information. And please call or write today.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled The Believer's Authority was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album titled Law Enforcement is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL22 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is the last day for us to offer the fifth teaching in this six-part series entitled The Believer's Authority. Now, of course, I still have my brand new book that we've put out and a study guide that I've put out. This study guide is nearly 400 pages, and it's specifically designed to help you teach other people in Bible study, Sunday school situations. And then we have DVDs, we have CDs, but we will continue to offer all of these products, but we make each individual teaching in the set available one at a time, free of charge for people who could not or would not send any money in for the materials. Today is my last day to offer you the fifth teaching in this six-part series.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.
I really dislike religion, so much so that God has placed me in a country where it is so prevalent, it just chokes people, you know, it just chokes the breath out of them, and they're just lying there wondering if God loves them.